This is Shia for Parshas Kitisa, and it's based on an insight of the Arizal with regard to Aaron. Now, of course, the central and very difficult episode of this week's Parsha of Kitisa is the Egel, and the role of Aaron HaKohen in the Egel is a very complicated sugya to understand, especially in light of the fact that there are indications in Chazal that Aaron was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol dafka because of his role in the Egel. In any event, the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Bnei Amram Aaron uMoshe, Vayavdel Aaron lakdisho kodesh kadoshim hu banov ad olam lahakdil lifnei Hashem l'sharso l'varech b'shmo ad olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here chooses Aaron HaKohen to be the Kohen Gadol to serve in the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom HaKippurim, and Hu Ubanov Ad Olam. And yet it seems that there was a divine plan here that Aaron would be in this very, very challenging situation, this test of Asiyas HaEgel. And again, it's very difficult for us to understand how Aaron could have gotten involved in the creation of the Egel. Let's read the Psukim here in Shmos Lamed Beis. Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe l'redes min ahar. Vayakel ha'am al Aaron vayomrei lov kum aseh lanu with him asher yelchu lefanenu. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish asher helenu. Me'eretz Mitzrayim lo yadanu ma hoyo lo. Vayomer aleim Aaron, pirku nizme hazov asher biozne noshim b'neichem uvnoseichem vehiviu elai. Vayisparku kol ha'om es nizme hazov asher biozneim vayaviu al Aaron. Vayikach miyodom vayitzer oso b'cheret vayaseu egel masecha. Vayomru Eile Elohecha Yisrael Asher Helucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe doesn't come down from the mountain. According to their calculation, he's not on time. The people gather on Aaron and demand that he create a god who will guide them in their travels, to lead them through the desert, because Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. We don't know what happened to him. He took us out of Mitzrayim, but we don't find him. And Aaron says, take off and contribute all your nose rings that are made of gold and bring them to me. And that's what they did. And Aaron took the gold and he threw it into the furnace, and out came an egel masecha. The Arizal has an amazing revelation here, and we're going to try to analyze it, take it apart. And of course, it's based on a concept which is a bit foreign to us. It's called Gilgul Neshamos and transmigration of souls in English. But the basic underlying theme is that what a person can't achieve in a lifetime, or fail to achieve in a lifetime, in that chibur, in that connection between his neshama and his guf, it's not over. Death might be final as far as the guf is concerned, but it's not final as far as neshama is concerned. And that neshama may indeed reappear in a different guf later in history, possibly even in more gufos later in history, in order to fix up and complete that which was lacking in the neshama in its achievement in the first guf, in its first form, as a mortal being. And the Arizal uses this concept of Gilgul Neshama. So based on his Ruach HaKodesh, the Arizal is able to teach us about connections between one personality who was early in Jewish history, another personality who's later. Sometimes it could be Adam HaRishon, who again left this world without a complete tikkun because of his chet, and he has to appear in another form. In this particular case, we're not at Adam HaRishon. We're fast forward to a little bit later in history, in the history of man, and we're at the period of Noach. After the period of Noach, we have the period of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is a descendant through Shem of Noach, and Avram Avinu has a brother Haran. Now, according to Chazal in Torah Shebaal Peh, Haran dies in the very incident where Avram sanctifies the name of God and survives. However, Haran was not on the same level of Avram. Avram Avinu, at the story of the encounter with Nimrod, Avram was willing to give up his life, to be Moser Nafshal Kedushas Hashem in Ur Kasdan. It was a total willingness of Mesiras Nefesh. Haran, according to Chazal, stands on the sidelines, and he knows that Nimrod is going to turn to him next. He's going to have the same choice, and in his mind he wavers back and forth. He decides, let's see what happens to Avram. If Avram dies, if he's burnt in the Ur, in the furnace of Kasdan, then I'm with Nimrod. If he survives, if there's some miracle, I'm with Avram. This Mesiras Nefesh, this willingness to give up his life, and in fact he did die, was not a complete Mesiras Nefesh. It was what you call Shalol Lishma to some extent. The parasha at the end of Noach says, "Vayamos Haran al pnei terech aviv bi eretz molatato bi ur kazdin." Rashi says, "Al pnei terech aviv shal yidei aviv meis." Shekov al terech al Avram bino lifnei Nimrod al shekites es tzloma v'shlicho l'kivshenesh. Nimrod throws Avram into the furnace. Haran yoshev yomer belibo. Im Avram nutzach ani mishalo. V'im Nimrod nutzach ani mishalo. U'kshenitzal Avram, omer lo Haran mishal miat omer lo mi. Omer lehem Haran mishal Avram ani yishlichu l'kiv shenesh v'nisraf v'zeu ur kazdin. There is, by the way, a debate amongst the commentaries as to whether Haran did experience a miracle, although he died. But one version has it, based on a Medrash Rabbah, that his body was whole. It didn't get burnt. His insides were burnt. And he actually walked out of the Kivshan Ha'esh. He was still alive until he fell and collapsed into the arms of his father, Vayomas Haran, al pnei terech aviv. The Mesiras Nefesh of Haran, the Kedushas Hashem, was incomplete. In fact, he had doubts. He was vacillating. He didn't know where the truth lies and whether he should put himself into this situation of Mesiras Nefesh. In his heart, he was saying, let's see if Nimrod wins out, I'm with Nimrod. At the end, he did give up his life, only after he saw that Avram survived miraculously the Kivshan Ha'esh, and says the Arizal, in terms of the neshama of Haran, and insofar as the fact that Haran was not complete in his Mesiras Nefesh, there had to be a Gilgal of his neshama. And that leads us to our parsha, this very difficult episode of Aaron creating the eagle. The Arizal points out that the name Aaron can be split into two. Take the Aleph and put it on the side. That has inner significance and symbolic significance. And then the rest of the name of Aaron is Haran, Hey Resh Nun. And therefore, Haran, the brother of Avram, needs a tikkun for his sin. And now it's very interesting because, parenthetically, so to speak, the Arizal adds another point, we could put it in brackets for the time being, that Haran, in his death, or shall we say in the challenge that was placed in front of him by Nimrod, was meant to rectify the sin of Adam HaRishon. Now, according to the Arizal, that sin of Adam HaRishon was Avodah Zarah. We'll try to explain that in a minute. But instead of Haran being mitaken the sin, he really didn't have true belief in God, And it's only when Avram survived the Kivshan Esh, came out alive, that's when Haran was willing to identify with Avram. So it was not a complete tikkun on the Avodah Zarah, because he, Haran, did not have a complete faith in God. And therefore Haran is burnt at the Ur Kasdan. Hashem does not come to miraculously save Haran. But here's the punchline. It says the Ari, the Acharkach, meaning after the death of Haran, is Galgel, his neshama shows up in a different, penetrates into a different body, be Aaron, l'taken chet hanizkar, as a tikkun for the sin of Avodah Zarah. Now again, we know that Egel Azov is the sin of Avodah Zarah. We're not exactly sure how Aaron is going to succeed as a Gilgal of Haran to complete the task that Haran did not complete and come to a full emunah, complete faith in God, and an undermining of Avodah Zarah. It would seem at face value to be on the contrary, that Aaron participated, facilitated the Avodah Zarah of the Egel Azov. Now let's get back to the original question. What is the Avodah Zarah element here in Adam HaRishon, which Haran was challenged to be metaken? So it says in Chazal that the Nachash caught Adam HaRishon in its net regarding the Chet of Eitz Hadas with words of Kfira. And this is in the third chapter of Bereishis. It says, Ki yodeh Elokim ki biyom achalchem imenu v'nifkechu einechem v'yisem kelokim yodeh tov v'ra. In other words, the Nachash says that you, man, Adam, and Chava can become God if you only eat from the Eitz Hadas. And Rashi comments there in Chumash, Ki yodea kol uman sone es bnei umnaso. Rashi is touching on the human element of jealousy. Why? Because mina eitz ochal, according to the Nachash HaKadmoni, God partook of this eitz hadas, ubara es ha'olam, and he was able to create the world. And therefore, ve'yisem kelokim, if you too will eat from the Eitz Hadas, then you will be like God, Yotzrei Olamos. Just like God ate from the Eitz Hadas, and he created the world, so too you can eat from the Eitz Hadas, and you'll create the world. And this is the greatest kfira. To believe in the sheker of the Nachash, that man could be like God, and man could create worlds, because God ate from the Eitz Hadas. All this is begeder a chet of Avodah Zarah. And Haran was put in this world as a Gilgul of Adam HaRishon to be metaken the chet of Avodah Zarah. And Avraham Avinu might have also been a Gilgul of Adam HaRishon. I don't know how that works exactly, but if Adam HaRishon is guilty of Avodah Zarah, then Avraham is going to complete the task of Tikkun, and he's going to be ready to be burnt in the Kivshan HaEsh. As the Pasuk says, P'silei Eloheim Tisrifu Ba'esh. And although he wasn't burnt, but nevertheless he went, it's apparently it's enough that he was willing and he went into the Kivshan HaEsh with the right kavanas, the pure intention of being burnt and of sanctifying the name of God. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mitzarif Machshav Tova Kamaisa, God considers his thought and his willingness to give up his life as if he actually gave up his life. That's the ultimate tikkun for the chet of Adam HaRishon. Hashem put the same challenge in front of Haran, but Haran didn't have the kavana l'shem shamayim. He's what we spoke about before, shalo l'shma. You know, he thinks that, wow, this is going to be glorious if, together with Avraham Avinu, I experience this miracle, this supernatural event of surviving the hottest furnace that we can think of. That's going to really build up my reputation in the world, because if it's me and Avram, I mean, nobody knows the difference between the two of us. We both went into the Kivshan Esh together. But obviously that attitude is shalom l'shma. You know, he maybe wanted self-glory, but he wasn't interested in Kiddush Hashem per se. He wasn't really committed. He thought, if Avram survives, that this is a great thing for me. I have an equal opportunity to be, you know, the famous person in this generation. So now the neshama of Haran needs a Gilgul. It needs a tikkun. And that's where the name of Aaron comes to play. According to the Ari, it's Aleph Haran. Again, we're not sure what the Aleph is, but the more fundamental question that we want to ask here is how did Aaron actually be metaken this pagam, this Haran, the incomplete or the deficiency in the Mesiras Nefesh of Haran? On the contrary, it was Chur, his nephew, who according to Chazal was Moser Nafsho. He stood up against the mob scene and refused to participate in Avodah Zarah. He was killed. So that was the Mesiras Nefesh of Chur. But in the case of Aaron, Adarabba, he buckled down, and he collapsed, and he gave in, and he caved in, and he was willing to be the facilitator of this Avodah Zarah, of this chait of the eagle. So where's the tikkun here for Avodah Zarah? Now, in order to understand this, we're going to take a look at the Shvilei Pinchas, and you'll see it here on the bottom left. This is for Tavshin Ayin Vav. And he says the following: how did Aaron HaKohen, the Kodesh Yisrael, do what he did and participate in the creation of the Egel without being Moser Nafsho Liharig al Kedushas Hashem? And we have to look at the pasuk carefully. Immediately after they made the egel, Vayar Aaron, Vayivim Mizbeach Lefanov, Vayikra Aaron, Vayomer Chag Lashem Machar. So Aaron builds a Mizbeach, and he declares that tomorrow we're going to celebrate the holiday of God. So Rashi says in the name of Chazal, in the name of the Medrash, that Aaron Ra Chur ben Achoso Shahayim Ochicham Vehargehu Varguhu. Aaron witnessed the murder of his nephew Chur, because Aaron tried to stop the people and rebuke them, and he was killed. And Vayiven, now the pasuk here referring to Aaron, Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanov, is Vayiven Mizavuach Lefanov. Zavuach Lefanov means that he was slaughtered in front of his eyes, meaning he, Chur, was slaughtered in front of the eyes of Aaron and Vayiven. And now Aaron is building plan, a project, an enterprise. He has a goal to reach based on the fact of Zavuach Lefanov, based on the fact that Chur was killed. And Rashi adds the following comment. He says, "Mutav sheyitle bi hasirachon v'lo b'hem." In other words, if I get actively involved and if I capitulate, they're demanding that we create a god figure. Then I'm going to be responsible for this if I give in, and if I want to give in and comply, participate actively in the creation of the eagle, because what that's going to mean is that the guilt will be on me rather than on them. And Rashi is clearly indicating that Aaron's Mesiras Nefesh here is for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So again, on a physical level, in terms of being killed, Aaron is not willing to be killed. He wasn't Moser Nefesh Liharig. Instead, he agreed to make the Egel. And although Chur before him was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and gave up his life when they asked him to create the Egel, Aaron refused to do so, to give up his life, I mean, because that would be terrible. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Zayin Omid Aleph, explains that Aaron created the Egel. He didn't give up his life. He realized something amazing and quite tragic in potential. And that is that just like Chur was put to death because he didn't respond positively to their request, their demand that he make the egel, if he, Aaron, would likewise follow in the footsteps of Chur, refuse to comply and make the egel, he would be put to death. But here's the punchline. As a result of his being put to death, there would be no takana forever for the Klal Yisrael. Vayar Aaron vayiven mizbech lefonav. Ma ra, omar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefes, omar Rabbi Loza, ra chur shezavuach lefonav, omar. Ilo shamana lehu hashta. If I don't give in and comply now, avdu li kira avdu lechur. They'll do to me what they did to chur. Umekayim bi, and as a result of my death, there would be a fulfillment of what the prophet Yirmiyah says in Eicha, im yehoreg b'migdash, b'migdash Hashem kohen v'navi. Okay, because in the case of Aaron, we're talking about a combination of two personalities. He's a kohen and he's a navi, two identities. V'lo havelei takana liolam. And there could never be any salvation for the people of Israel. Mutov deli avdu li egel. Let them serve the egel. Efshar havilu takanta b'tshuva. The two choices are the following. If I refuse to build, to participate in the egel, then ein lehem tkuma liolam. They will never be able to survive this, because that would be the most severe violation of Yehoreg b'migdash Hashem kohen v'navi. If, on the other hand, I facilitate this Avodah Zarah, then it could be, and hopefully it will be, that there'll be a takana b'tshuva, the Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. So there's at least a chance, and a good chance, hopefully, for the salvation of Klal Yisrael. And as I mentioned at the outset, according to the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, in the zchus that Moshe, that Aaron accepted upon himself to make the egel, in order to save Klal Yisrael from total destruction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol, to serve the Avodas HaKohuna as the Kohen Gadol, to go Lifnai V'Lifnim B'Kodesh Kadosh Yom HaKippurim. And the Medrash derives it from a pasuk in Tehillim, in the 45th chapter. It says, Ahavta Tzedek. What does Ahavta Tzedek mean? Tzedek literally means justice. But in this context, it means Letzadek Es Bonai, meaning that Aaron is going to guarantee that there'll be a chance of survival and therefore tshuva for Klal Yisrael. That's Letzadek Es Bonai. Vatisna Resha, but in terms of your tolerance level for the evil of worshipping the eagle, it's zero tolerance. Al Kain, and therefore Mashcha Elokim Elokecha Shemen Sasam Mechaverecha. And the language of the Medrash is very telling. It says, B'shasha Asu Yisrael Osa Maise B'tchila Holchu Eitzel Chur Amru Lo Kum Asei Lanu Elohim Kevin Shalo Shama Lehem Omdu Olav Arguhu V'achach Holchu Eitzel Aaron Amru Lo Kum Asei Lanu Elohim Kevin Shashama Aaron Kein Miyad Nisyore Omar Aaron Ma Ese Harei Hargu Es Chur Shaya Novi V'achshav Im Hargim Osi Shani Kohen Miskayim Aleim HaMikra Shekosuv Im Yehorig B'migdash Hashem Kohen V'Novi U'miyadim Golim. And we're going to interpret the word golem here, not just in the strict literal sense of exile, in that restricted definition, but golem means they're lost as a people forevermore. Omar Aaron, imbonim hen, meaning if we build on their behalf the egel, then oso asich rocho nitle bi. In other words, I'm sorry, imbonim hemes egel, if they'll create the egel, then the sirochon will be totally by him. They are totally guilty from beginning to end. But mutav, it's better, sheyitla sirochum bi, if I create the egel, I'll be responsible for the creation of the egel. Omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aaron, ahavta tzedek letzadek es bonai, sonesa resha milechayvam, alkei meshocha lekim elokecha, omer lo chayecha, shemikol shivto shalevi lo nivcha lekuna gedola elaata. Implying in the Medrash's language that anyone, any other member of Shevet Levi could have been chosen as the Kohen Gadol, but Kuna Gadol was given exclusively. In other words, Aaron was singled out as the choice candidate for Kuna Gedola. And the Alkein in the Medrash means because I have to tzedek letzadik is bonai in the episode of the Cheta Egel. So we learn from this that Aaron, as far as himself is concerned, he was ready to be Moser Nafsho, to be killed al Kedush Hashem, in order not to make the Egel. And he changed his mind basically after he saw the murder of Chur, who was a Navi, because he, Chur, had refused to participate in the Egel. He now understood that if they would kill him as well, which again he was willing to give up his life not to create the Egel, but it would be a fulfillment of the prophecy in Eicha of Yehoig B'Migashem Koiv and Navi, and Shuv Lo Yelem Tikun. There will be no possibility of saving the Jewish people. Therefore he says, you know what? Mutav, it's better that I make the Egel. And as a result, the Sirachon will be placed on my shoulders. I'll be held responsible. And as a result, the Jewish people will have a tikkun. We'll be able to do tshuva for the Chet Egel. If they kill me, they'll never be able to do tshuva. You almost get the impression that, according to Chazal and the Medrash, the people would have gone ahead and made the Egel without Aaron. So Aaron grabbed and seized the opportunity that he should make the Egel. It's like, I'll give you a mashal. You know, there's always an issue in the yeshivas, especially in the modern American yeshivas, for 18-year-olds, about going down to Eilat. Because Eilat has all sorts of distractions, the beach and so forth and so on. So sometimes the yeshiva will decide, better if we take them down to Eilat than if they go themselves. They go to themselves, there's no supervision. It could be absolute hefkeres. Again, I don't know if the mashal is accurate, but the nimshal here is that Aaron wants to be part of the Egel, so to speak, because then he's in control. It's not the people going wild on their own, because that would be unbridled worship and so forth, and not only that, they would have killed Aaron, which would have been a closing of the doors on Klal Yisrael, finito. That would be the end of Klal Yisrael. So Aaron would rather save Klal Yisrael and hope for tshuva. He's going to take the brunt of the guilt for creating the Egel. Let them blame me. Let Hashem blame me for it. Rather than doing the Egel on their own. But again, the point is that if Aaron wouldn't have participated, they would have made the Egel in any event. Now we have the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer brings a chassid echad, one of the Balei HaMusar, who says that Mesiras Nefesh means not just giving up your physical body and dying al Kiddush Hashem, but also your spiritual nefesh, the soul of man. Now this is an amazing chiddush. It means a person should be willing to give up his spirituality, his eternity, his immortality, all for the sake of Mesiras Nefesh, of doing something for the sake of Hashem. He's not only willing to give up his life in this world, but also his nefesh in Olam Haba. That's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. That's why it's called Mesiras Nefesh and not Mesiras Aguf. So the Chasam Sofer writes, B'Sifrei HaMusar, Heviu B'Shem Chosid Echad Shomar, Im Hoya Nigzar Min HaShamayim Shal Mitzvah Nekabal Onesh. If there was some reason, again, this is almost antithetical by its very essence, but Lu Yitzuyer, in a theoretical, abstract world, a person would realize that he's going to be punished as a result of doing a mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah is going to be a Kiddush Hashem. It's going to be an expression of Avos Yisrael. But for one reason or another, he realizes he's going to end up being punished. So the Chassid declares, I would be willing to do the mitzvah, even if it means I'll be punished for it, because I know that Hashem's ratzon is inherent in the mitzvah. My Creator, my Maker wants me to fulfill this mitzvah. And even if it means I'll be punished, even if it means I'll give up some of my spiritual nefesh, but nevertheless, ritzoni lasos ritzonecha, I want to do what I know is the will of God, fulfill God's will. And he goes on to say that the true ultimate level of Mesiras Nefesh is not just what we think is Mesiras Atzmeinu L'Misa for the sake of Kvod Shamayim. That's just Mesiras HaGuf. We haven't yet been Moser Nefesh. And the ultimate level of Mesiras Nefesh is being Moser Nefesh. If a person will do something for the sake of God and His glory, and it would mean Krisus HaNefesh, he would have to forfeit his Nefesh, his spiritual life force. He will go down to Sha'ol Le'ivadon. Nevertheless, he's not going to prevent himself. He's not going to hide away from his responsibility. He'll be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim for the sake of Kiddush Shem Shamayim, even if it means that he's Moser Nefesh. And I'm talking about his Nefesh. And if that be the case, then we get back to Aaron and the eagle. Aaron saw, he realized that after Hur was killed, he would be put to death if he doesn't participate. And in Yehorik B'Migdash Hashem Kohen V'Novi, there would be no salvation, no tekumah for Klal Yisrael for all eternity. He said, you know what? It's better if they make the eagle. There's a possibility of a takon in tshuva. The Chasam Sofer, of course, asks the obvious question, what about the Yisrael Avodah Zorah? I mean, that's Yehorik Val Yavar. How could Aaron entertain the idea, much less implement the idea, of a worship of an idol? Again, not that he himself worshipped the idol, but he facilitated Klal Yisrael, those segments of Klal Yisrael that worshipped the idol. And beyond that, he's chosen Aaron as the Kohen Gadol forevermore because of the schus of his creating the eagle. I mean, Avodah Zorah here, you know, Yehorik Val Yavar, what's going on? So the Chasam Sofer says that Aaron is the tzaddik. He understood what the Mizbeach in front of him meant. He saw Aaron was killed for his Mesiras Nefesh because he refused to make the eagle. And if they're now going to be ready to kill Aaron as well, then ein tekumah hashom l'soni Yisrael. So Aaron says, you know what, it's better that Klal Yisrael will survive even if I have to give up my Nefesh, because, and here's the lashon of the Chasam Sofer, says Omar Aaron Belibo Mutov Shis Kaimu Yisrael V'ye Abed Hu. I'd rather if Klal Yisrael will survive and I'll die, V'ye Midas Adin Mesucha Kenegdo V'hema Yimoltu. He wants the Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be pointed towards him, towards Aaron himself, and they, the people of Israel, will be able to run away. They'll be able to survive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood the deep kavanah, the deep intention of Aaron, which is for the tachlis of Avas HaBore, because if the entire people of Israel, the Am Hashem, would be destroyed, then who's there to fulfill God's will in the world? And where's the Avas HaBore, if not from the Ummah, this nation of Israel? And Gdol Aver Lishma, this is an Aver that's done L'Shem Shamayim, and as a result, Aaron was chosen and his children forevermore to be the Kohen Gadol. The Chasam Sofer quotes another sugya here in this context in Sanhedrin Daf Kuv Zayin. Bikesh David Lavod Avodah Zorah V'hinei Lekroso Chushi Ha'erchi Karua Kutanto V'adom Al Rosh Omer Lo David Yomru Melech Shekamoscha Yavod Avodah Zorah Omer Lo Melech Shekamotzi Yargenu B'no Mutov Yavod Avodah Zorah V'yayischal Shem Shemayim V'farhesya. That David Melech was willing to give up his life, meaning his spiritual, immortal life, la'abed is chelko b'olam hazeh b'olam haba, in order to avoid the chil Hashem b'farhesya of his being killed by his own son. And therefore, David in his mind is justified in worshipping Avodah Zorah. Why? In order shelo yischal shem shamayim b'farhesya. Now we begin to understand now and appreciate how Aaron is the tikkun for the pagam, the deficiency that of Haran. Because when we contemplate it, we see that the root of the deficiency of Haran, of his pagam, is that he waited to see what would happen with Avram, his brother, in the case of Mesiris Nefesh al Kedush Hashem. And when he saw that Avram was saved, then he felt, all right, I'll be Makadish Shem Shemaim as well, in a way that was never done before. And that was Haran's challenge. That was his opportunity, that not only would it be a Mesiris Nefesh in the goof sense, if we give up his life in the Kivshan Ha'esh, but if HaKadosh Baruch is going to save him in a supernatural way, that too is going to be a great Kiddush Hashem. So there are many elements here of a unique Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim, that never took place since the history of the dawn of man. But Haran was not motivated by these possibilities that he could be Moser Nefesh, by wanting God's name to be glorified and be willing to stand up and refuse Nimrod and be cast into the iron furnace, into the hot furnace, and that God would come down and save him. That wasn't on Haran's agenda, really. Haran realizes that his brother was able to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and at the same time God saved him for the Kivshan Eish, and that would publicize the great name of God in the world. And he, Haran, had a great desire to imitate Avram, the Mice of Avram, his brother, to be Moser Nefesh al Kedush Hashem, when he thinks that he too will be saved from the Kivshan Eish, and God will come down and cool off the flames. It'll be a great publicity of the name of God in this world. But what was the great pgam that was sort of inherent in his thinking, in his heart, that he didn't really want to be Moser Nefesh? He wasn't like Avram, who was really, genuinely, sincerely ready to give up his life and be burnt in the Kivshan Eish. Haran really was not interested. He didn't think, and he wasn't ready to give up his life. He thought, if Avram was saved, I'll be saved. So this is called a Kavanah Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. And now if we apply that to Aaron, we can begin to see how Aaron is a tikkun for Haran. Because Aaron is in the same kind of situation as Haran. That Klal Yisrael come to Chur, they ask Chur to create the Egel. Chur is Moser Nefesh al Kedush Hashem. He refuses to participate and create the Egel. They kill him. And that was the Kiddush Shem Shamayim L'Chol HaDoros of someone who's willing to be Moser Nefesh al Kedush Hashem. When they came to Aaron, Kedosh Hashem, and they again demanded that he create the Egel, he, Aaron, was again like Chur, Muchan Mezuman. He was perfectly prepared to give up his life as Chur had given up his life. He would be Moser Nefesh al Kedush Hashem, not to create the Egel. But then he realized that as a result, if he refuses and they kill him, this was the great Chachma of Aaron. He realized that although he would have spared himself and being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim insofar as not giving in to build the Egel, but not be alive to control the mob scene and curtail the Avodas HaEgel, and furthermore, it would be a fulfillment of Yirmiyah im Yaharig b'Mikdash Shem Koyin v'Navi, there would be no tikkun for the people of Israel. That would be the greatest Chilul Hashem imaginable, because Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, is the Am Skula, they were chosen by Hashem, and if there would be no tikkun, the entire enterprise of Kiddush Hashem, of Klal Yisrael, would go down the tubes. They would just cease to exist. It would be the greatest Chilul Hashem possible. So therefore, Aaron has two choices in front of him. One choice is that he could be Moser Nefesh, rather than violate Avodah Zarah, or participate in creating the Avodah Zarah. And in that sense, he still retains his chelik in Olam HaBa, and he goes down in history as Kiddush Hashem par excellence. Or alternatively, he could actually participate in the creation of the egel. He's going to be responsible for that. But at the same time, he's going to spare Klal Yisrael. And that's what he is interested in, Aaron. He wants to save Klal Yisrael. And by taking upon himself to create the egel, he feels he's going to be able to spare and save Klal Yisrael. So they'll have a tikkun for the Chet Egel when they do full-fledged tshuva. And that's the statement in Chazal, Mutav, Sheyitla Sirachon Bi Velo Bi Yisrael. Let me lose my chelik in this world, the next world. But as long as I can be mezake and save Klal Yisrael from Chas Shalom, from annihilation. So let's understand how Aaron HaKohen, with his Mesiris Nefesh, and we talk about Nefesh, we mean his spiritual Nefesh, was metaken the sin of Haran, the pogam of Haran in Haran's Mesiris Nefesh. In contrast to Haran, who was willing to be Moser Nefesh, only to be like Avram, who was saved from the Kivshan Eish, Aaron refused to be Moser Nefesh, to be like Chur, and to add his name to the long list of glorified martyrs who were Makadi Shem Shamayim during the entire history and generations of Klal Yisrael. So instead of that, he's going to be Moser his Nefesh. He's going to forfeit his portion in the world to come in order to save Klal Yisrael. Now again, you may ask, what's the matir here on a halachic basis? You know, we believe that for Avodah Zorah you have to give of your life. No cheshbonos, they're going to allow you to violate Avodah Zorah. Again, first of all, keep in mind he's not violating Avodah Zorah. But secondly, keep in mind that the people are going to violate Avodah Zorah. It's almost like the situation of Esther. You know, that if she doesn't submit herself to this relationship, then it's going to be against her will in any event. It's going to happen. And not only that, the Gemara justifies Esther by saying Karka Olam. I mean, that's really a kasha, because in Aaron's case there's no Karka Olam, but maybe this has to do with the getter of Avodah Zorah. Avodah Zorah is the antithesis of Kiddush Hashem, of Kvod Shemayim. It's Chil Shem Shemayim. And therefore, Aaron here, in participating in creating the eagle, is trying to calculate which would, you know, do damage control, which would be the most minimum, the lowest level or ebb of Chil Hashem. And he felt that if he would be involved in creating the eagle, somehow he could be monea the Chil Hashem in this Avodah Zorah. He could somehow control it and restrict it. It reminds us of the Gemara at the end of Shabbos, according to one man, the Omer, the reason why we violate the Shabbos for a chole, sheyesh bo sakon, is because chalol of Shabbos achas kedei sheyishmar Shabbos is harbe. So we're going to do one avodah zara, one chil Hashem, but hopefully there'll be a tikkun, there'll be tshuva, and then in the future there won't be a repetition of the avodah zara. So if we leave things status quo, there's going to be avodah zara in any event, with or without Aaron. So by Aaron adding to himself to this picture, Adarab, it's going to be a Hatzolah. It's going to be a Hatzolah, because he, Aaron, will shift, some extent the burden will shift upon his shoulders, and there'll be less of a punishment on Klal Yisrael. And the main thing is that they won't be killing a Kohen V'Novi B'Yom Echad, which would have signaled the entire end, finito, for Klal Yisrael. And that's a tremendous Chil Hashem, as we said before. So given the overall calculation, Aaron says, you know what, instead of being most in my goof, I'm going to be most in my nefesh. And as we said before, v'chassam sof in the name of the chassid, that is the ultimate level of Kiddush Hashem, of Mesiris Nefesh, to be most of the nefesh itself. And why? Because if we don't, if we get killed, we'll be most of the goof, but what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael? Elem tikun liolam. And they're going to worship Avodah Zorah in any event. So the Chil Hashem here is going to be tremendous. It's going to be endless Chil Hashem if Aaron is put to death. Aaron is willing to put his life, as far as his own personal, you know, being written in on that glorious, majestic enumerated list that we mentioned before of Mekadesh Shemayim, Aaron is willing to join that list. But rather, he would give up his nefesh if that means saving Klal Yisrael, and if that means reducing the Chil Hashem of this Avodah Zarah. And in that sense, Aaron becomes a tikkun for Haran, because whereas Haran's Mesirus Nefesh was severely lacking in terms of his motivation, Aaron is going to go to the highest level of Mesirus Nefesh Mamish, the Nefesh, and all L'Shem Shamayim. Now, we pointed out earlier in the name of the Ari that Aaron's name is Haran with the additional Aleph. Now, what's the significance of that Aleph, which represents Echad, you know, the number one? So if you look in the famous Gemara in Chagiga Daf Tes, and the Gemara says, what's this repetition? And he says, Eina dome shone pirko mea pa'omim l'shone pirko mea v'echad. And again, all of the first want to know what sense does it make that the student who reviews his lesson 100 times is not an Oved Elokim, but the student who adds one extra time and it jacks it up to 101, that makes him into an Oved Elokim. I mean, what a wide gap between 100 and 101. What's the explanation for that? And the answer comes from the Baal Shem Tov himself, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, his disciple, quotes his Rebbe, the Baal Shem, who says that there's a symbolic meaning in the word Shona Pamim Pirko Mea Pam V'Echad. The admixture of the V'Echad. Who's the V'Echad? The Echad is the Yechido Shel Olam, is HaKadosh Baruch himself. When a person learns and he dedicates himself to Esek HaTorah, if he does it lishma for the sake of covenant shamayim, that's called liechad. He's a real oved elokim. If someone, on the other hand, is not l'shem shamayim, he's interested in his own glory, and that's why he dedicates his time to the study of Torah. He leaves out the echad. He's dedicated to the mea. He's not a true oved Hashem. And therefore, the student who adds the extra 101. Is he Gloy Milsa, my friend? Is he Gili Milsa that he is learning something because of Shamayim, L'Shem Ha'echad? So the admixture, the addition of the Echad, the God and the Shem Shamayim element, changes the whole nature of his Haskus B'Torah and injects the level of Torah L'Shma. And that's the Oved Elokim. He's L'Shma. And this is brought down also in the Machne Ephraim, in the name, Degel Machne Ephraim, the name of his Zayda, the Baal Shem Tov, in his Drasha of Purim, Al Derech Shomer Adoni Oviz Keni, in a Dome Shona Perik Echad, Pirko, Mea Pomim, Lishona Pirko, Mea Pomim V'Echad, when he adds the Echad into the equation, the effort is the Echad represents the Alufo Shal Olam, that changes his Limud, and upgrades it to the level of Avodas Hashem. He's an Oved Elokim. And the Gemara in Shabbos, so the Osios in Perek Habona, it says, Aleph Beis means Aleph Bina. Rashi says, Limud Torah. And the Aleph is a reference to Limud Torah, hence the Aleph, that is the Echad, the Aleph that is Aleph Bina, the Aleph that is attached to Haran, and that's the Aleph of Aaron, who's L'Shem Shamayim, totally. He's L'Shem Alufi, and he's the Mea Pomim V'Echad. He, Aaron, introduces the Echad. And if you look at the Pri Chaim on Masechta Avos, in the name of the Magid Mimezrich, in the Mishnah, the third Perek, it says, Kol Shochech Dover Echad Mimishnaso. Maila Olav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Mischai B'Nafsho. Now how could it be that someone who forgets one thing of his Torah is Chayav Misa? But the answer is no, that's not what it means. It means HaShokhech Dover Echad, he forgets the Echad, he leaves out Hashem. He's only interested in in the me'apavim, in the glory, and he's not motivated l'shem shamayim. He doesn't have the me'apavim, the echad. That's called the shochet dover echad mi'mishnoso. And we have such a harsh punishment because he's leaving out the echad, and therefore becomes shelo l'shma. So the addition, the attachment of the letter Aleph to the name of Haran in Aaron's name is because Haran, again, he was willing to be Moser Nefesh, but only for his own self-glory. He expected to walk out of the Kivshan Esh like Aaron, like Avram, if he would be glorified. He was Shelo L'shem Shamayim. He was missing the Aleph. That's Haran's problem. He didn't have the Aleph. The Alufo Shalolam. The Echad of Yichudo Shalolam. Aaron is willing to be Moser his Nefesh, literally his Nefesh, to give up his life and his Nefesh in Olam Haba. Again, he's willing to give up his life in this world, but he figures for the sake of Klal Yisrael and to minimize Chil Hashem, it's better if he maintains his life, so to speak, in this world, clings to life, and forfeit his life in Olam Haba. That's for Kvod Shomayim. And that's for the Aleph. That's the Aleph of the name of Aaron that's added to the Haran. Now, at this point, we want to present a new concept in the name of the Rebbe Reb Zusha Me'anipoli, a very interesting concept that we can combine and integrate two Jews into one, so to speak, for a great Kedusha, great Zchus. And he bases himself on the Gemara of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer in Chulin Daf Zayin Amid Beis, who explains to Rabbeinu HaKadosh why he is not interested in getting benefits from people in this world. But the phrase that he formulates for Pinchas ben Yoyer is very fascinating. Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. What makes Yisrael Kedoshim? Yesh Rotze V'yein Lo, V'yesh Yesh Lo V'yeno Rotze. Now, the first part, the Reisha Yesh Rotze, he's a person who wants to do charity, wants to give chesed, but he doesn't Ein Lo, he doesn't have the wherewithal to do so. That I understand. He can be judged, you know, on his machshava tova. He's a kadosh. But what does it mean, Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, Yesh Lo V'yeno Rotze? He has the wherewithal, but he doesn't want to give it. And Tosus basically asks this question: why is this person who's Yesh Lo V'yeno Rotze called a kadosh? And Tosus answers that the kavana here is that he's Eino Rotze, but nevertheless he does invite people to his table and he gives them tzedakah or machmas habusha, because otherwise he'd be bushed out. But he's still in the ballpark, so to speak. He really did the chesed, omnom not for the right reasons. He did it because of busha, but tachlis he did the chesed. He invited someone to his house as a guest. Again, it's a little bit difficult. Why is he called a kadosh? So Reb Zusha offers the following suggestion. It's a bit sophisticated. He says the following, that Chazal tells every time you do a mitzvah, a malach kadosh is born, and he will be a defendant on high, a sanegar, based on the mitzvah that was implemented by this person. But, says Rebbe Reb Zusha, a malach is a hybrid being. He's made up of guf and neshama. The maisa mitzvah creates the guf of the malach. The kavanasa mitzvah creates the neshama of the malach. So if a person has money to spend, but he's not interested in giving, if at the end of the day, because of busha, he gives, then he has the maisa mitzvah. And therefore the malach of this mitzvah, meaning the guf at least, was generated, was created. So he's mekayim a maisa mitzvah, but he's missing the intention, the kavanas a mitzvah, l'shma. So this malach that he created has a guf, but with no neshama. Now we have somebody else. He's a person who wants to give tzedakah, but he doesn't have the wherewithal to do so. He doesn't have money in the bank to fulfill this great mitzvah. His kavanas a mitzvah is there, and that generates the neshama of the malach. But since he wasn't able to be mekayim the mitzvah fa'al, because he was enjoined from doing so by virtue of his poverty, there was no maisa chesed, There was no Maisa mitzvah, therefore the Malach is a neshama without a goof, because it's the Maisa mitzvah that creates the goof. So what does that Kodesh Baruch Hu do with Kvodo V'Yatzpo? He takes these two people together and creates a kind of symbiotic partnership between them. He's mitzaref the Maisa Chesed, which was Shalolishma, of the person who was embarrassed to refuse, with the Machshava L'Shem Shamayim of the other person who did not have the ability to invite anyone to the table and give charity. And you create, and from the two of them together, you create a Malach that has both a Guf and a Neshama. He has a Tachlis of Shleimus. Now, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. You know, it's on this integration of these two categories of individuals together, they make up a Kedusha. There's a Yesh Rotzah V'Ein Lo. He's got the Machshava Tova that creates the Neshama, the Malach. There's Yesh Lo V'Ein Rotzah. So although he has the Maisa Guf, but he's not motivated by L'Shem Shamayim, he's just embarrassed to refuse. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts these two together and integrates them, the Machshava and the Maisa, so that Kiyum HaMitzvah would be complete, and that the Malach that is created from a Mitzvah would be B'Tachlus HaShleimus. Now we find a similar idea to Rav Zusha in his brother Rabbi Elimelech Milozhinsk in the Noam Elimelech in Parshas Mitzora to interpret the Gemara Psochim. Which means that Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the Torah and the mitzvahs that was studied shalolishma, and that will purify, and I'm sorry, take the Torah that was shalolishma, and he brings the tzaddik who has the machshava of lishma, and he integrates the two, and the lishma of the tzaddik is going to be mitayr and be mashlim the Torah that was studied shalol lishma. And if this be the case, when the Gemara says in Kiddushin the famous statement machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa, it should have said machshava tova kim maisa. It wasn't mitzarfa l'maisa, but it means mitzaref the machshava the tzaddik, which was lishma, with the maisa mitzvah the odom that was missing lishma, and with this tziruf, the mitzvah becomes complete, betachlis ubishlemus. And again, especially in the case of a person who had the lishma and potential, he was just, so to speak, denied the possibility of facilitating that mitzvah, of implementing that mitzvah. But we see very clearly that there's a hashlama of a mitzvah becomes nishlemus through the lishma, the machshava of a tzaddik, and therefore there's a complete, perfect mitzvah with all its schar. Now, there's just one line here which is a little bit ambiguous. I wanted to read it to you. He says, "Onu lemeidim ki miachar sheshlemus hamitzvah nishlemes al yidei halishma shel machsheves atzadik lachein mekabel atzadik schar al kol hamitzvos." And again, we're talking about someone who wasn't able to implement the mitzvah, so he gets the schar, the tzaddik, for his lishma, as if he had done the mitzvah, and that's called machshava tova mitzarfa lemaisa. Now let's understand again how, in a new light, how Aaron was misaking the nesham of Haran, and the answer is because Haran did the maisa tov, he was moser nafsho al kedushas Hashem, but his machshava was not proper. He wasn't moser nafsho in the sense of being willing to give up his life. He anticipated that he would be saved like Avraham. In the case of Aaron, it's just the exact opposite. His machshava was tova, betachlus hashlemus, lekadishem shamayim, and he wanted to save Klal Yisrael and prevent the kiloyin of Klal Yisrael, the kili of Klal Yisrael, but his maisa was to create the eagle. And now if we apply the principle of Machshava Tov Mitzarfa L'Maisa, we can be Mitzarif the Machshava Tov of Aaron, which was Lishma, with the Maisa Tov of Haran, who is Moser Nafsho B'Kivshin Ha'esh Befoal, and together, you know, the goof of Haran, together with the goof of Aaron, in one Neshama, the goof of Haran, which was taken Al Kiddush Hashem, with the Machshava of Aaron, who had a total machsheves lishma, although his action was was a facilitation of the Avodah Zorah of the Egel. Is mitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma. The tikkun that's achieved through this Gilgul Neshamas, we find in Haran, that mitoch shelo lishma of Haran, that he was moser nefesh on Kedushas Shem shelo lishma, comes to lishma, he was zochet to have a Gilgul of Aaron, who is moser nafsho b'machshavto, for Kiddush Hashem l'shem shamayim, without any, you know, self-interest, without any selfish pnia. And that's going to be the tikkun for the Mesiris Nefesh of Haran, which was Shalol Lishma. And this again reflects what I said at the beginning of the Shia, that Haran had a miracle, according to some, and that his body came out of, how was he able to walk out of the Kibshan Nation, fall into the arms of his father? And maybe we could add that the Aleph that was added to the name Haran in the Aaron, by becoming Aaron, based on what the Zohar says, that the Chet of Adam HaRishon, he lost the Ksonis R. And that word R means with an Aleph. And instead he received Ksonos, Kisnos R with an Ayin. And Bitchila, the Zohar explains how Yikusnos R, Shohayu Mishtamshim Mahem Ke'el Yonim L'Mala. So Adam Chava received these kusnos of the supernal infinite light, similar to the light above in the higher spheres. Mishum shamalochim elyonim ayubayim lehenos miosar. It got to the point where even the malochim could enjoy the R that came from Adam Chava down on this world. That's what chasrei mat melokim. But now they sinned. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replaces the Kusnos R with Kusnos R with an I in the R is Nena Mehem V'lo HaNefesh. It means that the physical, material body gets Hanor from these Kusnos R, but not the Nefesh. And the Arizal says that Haran was meant to be Moser Nafshal Kedush Hashem Lishma for the purpose of being Metake in the Chet of Adam HaRishon. If he would have succeeded in doing so, the tikkun would have been the letter of R, the kusnos R, instead of the kusnos of ayin R. He did not complete that tikkun as he should have. He was not moser nafsho. He really was waiting on the sidelines to see if Avraham Avinu would be saved, then he would be saved. So now he failed to be mesaken the kusnos R of Adam HaRishon of the Aleph, but Aaron comes with his Mesiris Nefesh, which is total and complete and perfect. He's misaking the Aleph of kusnos R with an Aleph, and therefore he gets the Aleph added to the name Haran, and hence the name Aaron. And if Aaron HaKohen is the embodiment and personification of kusnos R with an Aleph, then we understand this in the light of the Shalah, who interprets the pasuk in Shmos Chav Ches, Va'asisa Bigdei Kodesh Li Aaron Achicha L'Kovel L'Sifaros, and he writes that Mikoach Chet HaAdam Husar Ejo Me'olav Tainu Kusnas Or Bi'Alev V'Nislavesh B'Kusnas Or Bi'Ayin U'Ksiv U'Livnei Yisrael Tasa Kutonos V'Hutzuchu L'Slavesh B'Bigdei Kodesh Malbushim Miyuchadim lekavru sefaras kidugmas kusnas R bi'aleph. Aaron gets kusnas R with an aleph. The chet of Eitz Hadas replaced the kusnas R with an aleph with kusnas R with an ayin. The aleph of echad was missing because the chet of Eitz Hadas leaves out Elokim. It's a denial of God. It's an avodah zara. And therefore, the Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lacking, the Aleph of Hashem, and therefore it's Kusnas Or with an Ayin instead of Kusnas Or. Now, with the Big Day Kahuna, there's a replacement of that Or, the Aleph of Hashem, the Hashem Echad, and the Kusnas Or with an Ayin are replaced now with Kusnas Or with an Aleph. And after the chet of Adam Arishon, the pasuk says, "Vayas Hashem l'kim li Adam ulishto kusnas or vayal bishem or with an ayin." The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was malbish Adam Arishon bebigdei kahuna gedola, and that's in the original plan. Adam Arishon, says the Medrash Rabba, "Hoya b'choro shel olam v'kivon shekirev karbono." Shenemar v'tetiv l'Hashem mishar par mikmakrin mafris is lovash bigday kahuna gedola. So initially, on the Marishan as the Bechor was makriv a karbon, and he had to wear bigday kahuna. And vayas Hashem Elokim li Adam uli ishto kusnas or vayal bishem bigday shevachayu. And Rabbeinu Bechai puts a spin on this medrash, and he says the fact, "Vayas Hashem Elokim li Adam ulishto kusnas or vayal bishem." He says there are eight tevos in this pasuk, corresponding to the eight big day kahuna gedola, and those with the begotten that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was malbish Adam HaRishon. And now we add the following parperas HaChochma, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a remez to Adam HaRishon, that he could be misaking the pekam, the pagam of his, that he was pogame in the big day kodesh, the levushay kodesh of kusnas or with an aleph. And he could do so through the Shmona Begadim of the Big Day Kuna Varna Kohen. And therefore the drasha is on that which it says by that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam Kusnas or with an ayin, that he'll be so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmonas Big Day Kahuna. This is a remez to Adam that ultimately his neshama will wear the Big Day Kahuna when the neshama of Adam will now be filled with the goof of Aaron, because Aaron adds the Aleph into the equation, Aleph of Kusnas Or with an Aleph. And with this we complete our discussion for Hashkofa, Parshas Ki Tisa. I want to wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbat Shalom.